walk in the steps of the Savior, stepping in the light, stepping in the light. How beautiful to walk in the steps of the Savior, led and pass of life. Amen. Amen.
Pastor. Let's remain standing as we look to the Lord in prayer. Brother Zimmerman, would you lead us, please, as we pray? Thank you, and you may be seated. And before we have our scripture reading this morning, we're also going to have a men's choir. I want to share with you a letter that I received from Brother Roger Evans concerning concerning Linda. He wrote this, directed it to the church. He says, "Just try to keep you updated on Linda's health issues. They stopped the chemo for now so she can gain some strength back to help in the recovery of the upcoming surgery. They want her to be as strong as possible when that surgery takes place. She will be going in this month on the 23rd. Today's the 22nd, so that means tomorrow. She will be going in for blood work. And again on the 24th, that's Tuesday, to meet with her surgeon that's going to be doing the operation. At that point, they will be going over what needs to be done prior to Friday the 27th. That's this week, this coming Friday, which she will be having the surgery. She will be in surgery. It will take about 4 to 5 hours, then in the hospital for 5 to 7 days. At that point, she will hopefully come home and be on bed rest for 6 to 8 weeks. So that's her schedule. If anybody asks you how Linda's doing, tell them and remember these dates so that you can especially hold her up in prayer at that time. He says that he'll try to keep everybody updated. He says, "I understand that there are some people wanting to visit her." Yes, including her pastor. "But I think that wouldn't be a good idea for now. Just continue praying for her. That has helped very much through this illness." So that's about all that we can do, is to pray. You can't reach them on telephone. You can send cards, get well notices, things like that. But you may not get an answer to it. So don't expect it, but just hold her and Roger up before the Lord. All right? Now then, let's have a scripture reading. Brother Ed.
What a blessing that I have an opportunity one more time being with you. Next Sunday will be Renee and I's last Sunday as we have to head back to Idaho for our summer experience. So I chose the book of Joshua, the first chapter. I think about daily as we wake up and we prepare our day to serve the Lord. And we have so many things in the world that cause us to turn our heads this way and that. And I've always loved this first chapter. Amen. And the first 9 verses is all I'm going to read, because that's what's relevant to what I wanted to share with you this morning. So if you would follow with me, starting with the first chapter, first verse. Now after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spake unto Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' minister, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore arise, go over this Jordan, thou and all this people, unto the land which I do give them, even to the children of Israel. Every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that have I given unto you, as I said unto Moses. From the wilderness and this Lebanon, even to the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites, and unto the great sea toward the going down of the sun, shall be your coast. Therefore shall not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. I will not fail thee, nor forsake thee. Be strong and of good courage, for unto this people shall thou divide an inheritance, the land which I swear unto their fathers to give them. Only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. Have I not commanded thee? Be strong and of a good courage. That's the third time in this verse that he said that. Be strong and of a good courage. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest. And here ends the scripture for this morning. Thank you.
Wonderful. Thank you.
Guess we're supposed to have men's chorus right now, so. Men's chorus. enjoyed that. Amen. Praise God. Would you turn over to page 411? 411. Earthly pleasures vainly call me, I would be like Jesus. Nothing worldly shall enthrall me, I would be like Jesus. Be like Jesus, this my song, in the home and in the throng. Be like Jesus all day long. I would be like Jesus. He has broken every fetter. I would be like Jesus. That my soul may serve him better. I would be like Jesus. Be like Jesus, this my song, in the home and in the throng. Be like Jesus all day long. I would be like Jesus, all the way from earth to glory. I would be like Jesus, telling o'er and o'er the story. I would be like Jesus. Be like Jesus, this my song, in the home and in the throne. Be like Jesus all day long. I would be like Jesus. Then in heaven he may meet me, I would be like Jesus. That his world well done may greet me, I would be like Jesus. Be like Jesus, this my song, in the hall and in the throne. Be like Jesus all day long. I would be like Jesus. Amen. Would you all rise, and we're going to turn over to 698, and would the ushers please come for our offering? 698. Sing the wondrous love of Jesus, sing his mercy and his grace. In the mansions bright and blessed, he'll prepare for us a place. When we all get to heaven, what a day of rejoicing that will be. When we all see Jesus, we'll sing and shout the victory. While we walk the pilgrim pathway, clouds will overspread the sky. But when traveling days are over, not a shadow, not a sigh. When we all get to heaven, what a day of rejoicing that will be. When we all see Jesus, we'll sing and shout the victory.
Let us then be true and faithful, trusting, serving every day. Just one glimpse of Him in glory will the toils of life repay. When we all get to heaven, what a day of rejoicing that will be. When we all see Jesus, we'll sing and shout the victory. Onward to the prize before us, soon His beauty will behold. Soon the pearly gates will open, we shall tread the streets of gold. When we all get to heaven, what a day of rejoicing that will be. When we all see Jesus, we'll sing and shout the victory. Amen.
Brother Roger, will you lead our prayer, please?
Heavenly Father, again, thank you for your watch, sharing your love. Thank you again for this day you've given. We pray, Lord, that those that are not here because of the illness, you pick them up, give them tranquility, but have them turn to the Lord, a great physician. We thank you so much, Lord, for those that are traveling and with them. Guide them and direct them back to us at this church. Thank you so much. Thank you again, Lord, for the church you've given us that preaches and teaches your word, Lord. Be your Pastor Wetzel as he breaks open the bread of life to us, that our hearts will be tuned and minds will be tuned to your word. Let the Holy Spirit lead him in his message. We again thank you for this offering. We pray, Lord, that it's not only used here at our church, but throughout the world where our missionaries preach. We thank you so much again for your love, your watch care, and thank you so much for dying on the cross and shedding your blood for us. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Amen. If y'all would like to hear Brother Johnny preach, sing for us this morning, say amen.
Amen.
Well, that wasn't very enthusiastic. If I was him, I don't know whether I would come up after that or not.
Amen.
All right. Come on up here.
Glad to see you, Pastor. Well, I knew you were going to be all right anyhow. You know what? Sometimes in our daily walk with the Lord, if you're born again, amen,
amen,
trials and tribulations are going to come our way. There are going to be those who claim that they're going to stick with you, but they do not. If you want a friend that's going to stick closer than a brother, you trust your Lord Jesus.
Amen.
He's the only one. And since I don't have music this morning.
You don't?
No. Only in my Holy Spirit take care of that. Amen. What you do, my friend, is just walk with God and He will be your dearest friend. Wherever you go, in whatever thing you do. And may your life reflect all of his tenderness. Just walk with God, and he will walk with you. Now in John 14, verse 1 and 2, he says, our Lord Jesus said, let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. So just walk with God, and he will be your dearest friend. Wherever you go, in whatever thing you do, and may your life reflect all of his tenderness, and just walk with God. Just walk with God. Now just walk with God, and he will walk with you. Yes, he will, Pastor. I know it because I walk with my Lord all the time. Praise God.
Hallelujah.
I praise him and him only.
All right. Who says you need music when you got music in your soul? All right. Let's turn in our Bibles to the first chapter of the book of Acts. Jesus has been resurrected for some 40 days at the time of the events in Acts chapter 1. And his disciples, who had been with him all of this time, I mean, during his ministry, then his 3 days death, and then his resurrection, they've been with him now for 40 days. They're getting used to him still being with them. You know what I mean? The traumatic events of the crucifixion are behind them, and they're in a sort of a hiatus period, I suppose, here, wondering what's going to happen next. So they followed Jesus out to the Mount of Olives on the east of Jerusalem. And here's what happens. The former treatise have I made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began both to do and teach until the day in which he was taken up. After that, he, notice this, through the Holy Ghost, had given commandments unto the apostles whom he had chosen, to whom also he showed himself alive after his passion by many infallible proofs, being seen of them 40 days and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God, and being assembled together with them, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which, saith he, you have heard of me. For John truly baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. When they therefore were come together, they asked of him, saying, Lord, wilt thou at this time restore again the kingdom to Israel? And he said unto them, it is not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father hath put in his own power. But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem, and in all Judea, and in Samaria, and unto the uttermost part of the earth. And when he had spoken these things while they beheld, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. Wow, that's something. I hope you noticed in this reading those references that he made to the Holy Ghost. I want to speak this morning for a little while about the Holy Spirit in the life of Christ. I believe that too many Christians today are unfamiliar with the earthly ministry, present earthly ministry, of the Holy Spirit of God. That's a very misunderstood doctrine today, seems like, in religion, is that of the Holy Spirit. Now, we know he's been around for a long time, and he's still here, and he's still sealing and indwelling all those who believe in and receive the Lord Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. As I study my Bible, I find it interesting that the Holy Spirit was so associated with and so deeply involved in the earthly ministry of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now I want to share some of that with you today as we talk about Christ and the Holy Spirit's influence in his life. It goes all the way back to the beginning. It goes all the way back to the incarnation. Because when the fullness of time was come, God sent his only begotten Son into the world, didn't he? In the fullness of time. Now, when he came, the Holy Spirit of God worked as the agent of his conception. Listen to Hebrews chapter 10, verse 5. When he cometh into the world, that's Jesus now being born, when he cometh into the world, he saith, sacrifice and offering thou wouldest not, but a body hast thou prepared me. In burnt offerings and sacrifices for sin, thou hast had no pleasure. Then said I, lo, I come. In the volume of the book it is written of me. Why did you come, Jesus? To do thy will, O God. Lo, I come, a body of flesh thou hast made for me. Now, here's how this came about. It's recorded over in Luke chapter 1, verse 35. There was an angel of God. The angel had a name. His name was Gabriel. He came to a city in Galilee named Nazareth. And he found in Nazareth a young virgin, a young girl. And her name was Mary. And Gabriel said to Mary, the Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the Highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. Now the instrument of Mary's conception was the Holy Spirit of God. Now, 9 months later, during this time, a decree had gone out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. And Joseph, being of the house of David, down in Bethlehem, 6 miles south of Jerusalem, he and Mary, now great with child, traveled all the way from Nazareth down to Jerusalem, on down to Bethlehem. They checked in at the local Motel 6, but the clerk said, "I'm sorry, we don't have any room." They found lodging in the stable. Today it would be the garage. Then it was the stable. And that's where the Christ child was born. Born in a stable, Bethlehem. They laid him in a manger. After he was wrapped in swaddling clothes, Matthew wrote this in chapter 1, verse 18. "Now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise. When, as his mother Mary was espoused," that means engaged, "to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child," what's the next words? "Of the Holy Ghost." Mary conceived by the power of the Holy Ghost. Jesus is born. And just as the Holy Spirit had been active generations ago in the creation of the world, now he becomes active in the creation of the body in which our Lord Jesus Christ will dwell for about 33 and a half years. All right, the Holy Spirit was there. How about his growing up days? Remember, they had to go down to Egypt to escape Herod's wrath when he killed all the little kids at Bethlehem. And then after Herod had died, and the angel told Joseph and Mary down in Egypt, said that you can go home now. So they went and they found that Herod's son, who was meaner than his daddy, was ruling Judea. So they went on back up to Galilee, and Jesus was raised at Nazareth. What about his growth? We don't know too much about his growing up days, do we? But the Bible does tell us in Luke chapter 2, verse 40, and also in verse 52, "Think of him now. And the child grew. He learned to crawl. He learned to stand alone. He learned to take steps and to walk. And he grew up in Nazareth and waxed strong in spirit, filled with wisdom, and the grace of God was upon him. And verse 52 says that Jesus increased in wisdom and stature. That means he's growing up, maturing, and in favor with God and men. And don't you know that in his growing up days, that he always had a bunch of angels around him that were watching over him and protecting him, just like you and I have our guardian angels? Amen. Then the next time that he's mentioned, Matthew chapter 3, verse 16. Jesus leaves Nazareth of Galilee and goes down to the Jordan River, where his cousin, John the Baptist, is baptizing. He walks up to John and says, "Hello, cousin John. I want you to baptize me." John knew who Jesus was. He says, "You must be kidding. I have need to be baptized of you. You're coming to me to be baptized." Well, Jesus won the argument, and Jesus and John walked down into the waters of that Jordan River, and John baptized him. And, let me read the scripture, Matthew 3:16. "And Jesus, when he was baptized, went up straightway out of the water, and lo, the heavens were opened unto him." You know, that must have been a wonderful sight. I'd like to see that someday. And maybe one of these days we will, because heaven is going to open up to receive us whenever we're raptured out, or if perchance we die in the first resurrection. I like to read about the times when God opens heaven. Get into the book of Revelation. God opened heaven again. Call down here to John on the Isle of Patmos. "Come up hither." John looks up and he says, "How am I going to get up there?" God said, "Don't worry about it." There he went. And he was there. Here we are. Jesus, dripping wet, sitting on the banks with John, his cousin, on the banks of the Jordan River, and the heavens are opened. What happened? He saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and lighting upon him, and lo, a voice from heaven saying, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." Now, who in the world could that have been? Somebody was claiming Jesus as their son. Do you think it was Gabriel? I don't think so. I think it was God himself. That's my opinion. "This," meaning Jesus, "is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased." That was God the Father. Well, but wait a minute, there's only one God. And here we've got three. We've got Jesus, the Son of God. We've got the Holy Spirit of God descending from heaven in the form of a dove and lighting upon him. And then we've got Jesus, the Son of God. Three gods. How do we explain that? I'll tell you. This verse can actually be used as evidence of the Trinity. When God the Father and God the Son and God the Holy Spirit are all present at the same time. But let's move on. We're talking about the Holy Spirit in the life of Christ. What happens now? I suppose heaven closed up again, and God didn't say anything else. But the Holy Spirit abode upon him. That means he stayed with him. He didn't leave him. But what's the first thing that the Holy Spirit did when he's abiding on Jesus? Oh, you think that he would take him to the Jerusalem temple and put him in the most holy place, and people all over the world would come and worship him? Didn't happen. The Holy Spirit led him into the wilderness of all places, where he was tempted of the devil for 40 days and 40 nights. Boy, what a way to start your walk with God, Brother Johnny. Yeah. Here he goes, just been baptized. Clothes not even dry yet. And now then we find him. Now, what does the scripture say? Luke 4:1. And Jesus, being full of the Holy Ghost, returned from Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. How long? 40 days. But he overcame. How did he overcome? By the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. It is written. Satan would tempt him, and Jesus would say, "It is written. It is written." The sword of the Word. All right? He begins his ministry then, after he's won this battle over Satan. Luke 4:11, after the temptations are over, and Jesus returned in the power of the Spirit, the power of the Holy Spirit now, into Galilee, and he taught in the synagogues, being glorified of all. And in the synagogue, he said, reading again in Luke 4:18, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. That's the way he began his ministry. Without the Holy Spirit, he had no ministry. Without the Holy Spirit, he had no power. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He hath sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. He had a lot of work to do, didn't he? He had a plate full. But he's got the power of the Holy Spirit to accomplish this now. That's exactly what he did for the next 3.5 years. And he admits that what he accomplished was through the power of the indwelling Holy Spirit that came upon him in the form of a dove when he was baptized and stayed with him. What about his miracles? Matthew 12:25, Jesus says, but if I cast out devils How? By the Spirit of God. Then the kingdom of God is come upon you. I want that to retain in your mind, that he is casting out devils by the Spirit of God. The miracles that he is performing, they're demonstrations of the power of the Holy Spirit in the life of Christ. They are credentials. As we got in our Sunday school this morning, the miracles that Jesus performed were the physical evidence of his deity as the Son of God. Now, let's move on. The Holy Spirit, how was he associated with the death of Christ? Where was the Holy Spirit? And what was he doing while Jesus is nailed to the cross, paying the penalty for our sins with his own blood? Hebrews 9:14 is a good verse that says, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who, get this now, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God. Did you see that? The blood of Christ offered through the eternal Spirit, offered without spot to God. We know that Jesus became our Passover Lamb, the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. The Lamb is the sacrifice. The Lamb is the offering. The priest was the one who offered it. God was the one who accepted it. But Jesus became the sacrifice on Calvary. And his precious blood was sprinkled on the mercy seat, and it made atonement for all the sins of all sinners of all time, everywhere. All we have to do is to accept the atonement. Christ died for our sins. So the cross of Calvary became the altar, as it were, upon which Jesus, through the Spirit, gave his own life as an atoning sacrifice for our sin, and provides eternal, everlasting redemption for our souls. All right. Joseph and Nicodemus took the body of Jesus down from the cross, prepared it for burial, laid it in Joseph's new tomb, where never before man had been laid, and rolled a stone over the door. 3 days, 3 nights. As Jonah was 3 days and 3 nights in the belly of the whale, even so must the Son of Man be 3 days and 3 nights in the heart of the earth. But the Trinity is still at work. We say that Jesus... How was he resurrected? We say that Jesus came out of the grave in his own power. He raised himself. We also say that the Holy Spirit raised him from the dead. We also say that God raised him from the dead. Which one is right? They're all right. Let me give you some scriptures here. This will help you. In John chapter 10, verses 17 and 18, shows us that Jesus came out of the grave on his own power. Listen to him. Therefore doth my Father love me, because I, that's Jesus, I lay down my life, that I might take it up again. No man taketh it from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it again. Seven times. I have the power. He had said back as early as John chapter 2 and verse 19. Here's another one. The beginning of his ministry. He says, destroy this temple, and in 3 days, I will raise it up. Now those words came back to haunt him because the Jews thought he was talking about that Jerusalem temple. But he was talking about his body. His body was the temple. Why? Because God was dwelling in it. Your body is the temple as well. Paul tells us that. He reminds us of the fact that our bodies are the temple of the Holy Spirit because God dwells in us. And he was dwelling in Jesus, and Jesus could rightly call his body a temple because God was dwelling in it. Now, he says, I will raise it up. But wait a minute. We also say that God the Father, sitting up yonder in heaven on his throne, that's the way we think of him, isn't it? He says, no, I'm not. He says, where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them. I'm not way off in some other planet, disassociated from the earth. First Peter chapter 1, verse 21. God that raised him up from the dead and gave him glory. God raised him up. Acts chapter 2, verse 32. This is Peter again. This Jesus, he's preaching on the day of Pentecost, this Jesus hath God raised up. Jesus, I thought you raised yourself up. He says, I did. Well, what's Peter saying that God raised you up for? But that's not all. Then we've got the involvement of the Holy Spirit yet. What part did the Spirit of God play in the resurrection of Christ? Romans 8:11. Now we get to Paul. He says, but if the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you and me, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his Spirit that dwelleth in you. So now we've got the Holy Spirit involved in it, don't we? So one of these days, if I die and I'm buried out yonder in the cemetery, come resurrection morning, God the Father and God the Son and God the Holy Spirit are going to stand there on my grave arguing about which one of them is going to raise me up from the dead. All of them were involved. Now don't get shook up whenever a preacher gets in the pulpit sometimes and talks about God raised Jesus from the dead, because he's right, he did. Or if Jesus raised himself from the dead, he did. Or if the Holy Spirit raised him from the dead, he did. The Trinity was involved. When the women went to the tomb on the resurrection morning, they found that stone rolled away from the door of the sepulcher, and God's angel gave them this glorious message of hope when he said, "He is not here, he is risen." I try on the fifth day of each month to go out to Miramar National Cemetery and visit the grave where Rita's buried. And I think sometimes, wouldn't it be something if I go out there and I find that grave cracked open and I see an angel sitting there on that tombstone and he says to me, "She's not here. She's risen." I think, well, wait a minute, I've missed the rapture. There's something wrong. Anyway, what about his glorification? Now, we know this, that one of these days when the trumpet sounds, that same Spirit is going to what? Quicken our mortal bodies. So dead or living, we'll come alive. In his glorification, think about it. The Holy Spirit is here. He's been here a lot longer than Jesus was. Jesus was just here for 33 and a half years. The Holy Spirit came on the day of Pentecost, and he's still here. He's still here. But he doesn't brag about himself. He brags about Jesus. In John 16, verse 14, here's what Jesus said about him. You'll notice this eight times. I mean, Jesus really emphasizes this. Here's what he said. When he, who's the he? When he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak. And he will show you things to come. He shall glorify me, for he shall receive of mine and shall show it unto you. Count them. Eight times Jesus tells us what the Holy Spirit is doing now. I believe that Jesus is glorified when we share the gospel message with those who are lost. When we tell people about the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ. That's our job. Well, let's go back to where we started, full circle, Acts 1, verse 2. He, Jesus, through the Holy Ghost, gave commandments unto the apostles whom he had chosen. He, through the Holy Ghost, gave the commandments. That's why he was there on the Mount of Olives before he ascended back into heaven. Those last words of Christ should echo in the hearts and the ears of men throughout all their mortal lives. Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. That's his commandment. Jesus was the eternal God, even through his earthly life and ministry. But Jesus recognized that he needed to have an intimate relationship with the Holy Spirit of God. We know that God gave him the very words that he spoke. And during his earthly ministry, all of the miracles that he performed were done through the power of that indwelling Holy Spirit. He was continually and constantly endued with that power. And you and I have the same Spirit. Not a different one, the same Spirit. And Jesus said of us, he said, after the Holy Spirit's come upon you, greater things than I've done, you shall do. Are we doing greater things than Jesus? If we're not, we're coming up short of his expectations for us. If Jesus needed the Holy Spirit in his life and ministry, how much more do we need him in our lives? He said to the disciples, ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you. That doesn't give us room to take credit for anything we do, does it? It's not us, but it's God in us. And our prayer and the desire of our hearts should be, Lord, take me. Lord, use me. I surrender all. Let's stand together, please, with our heads bowed in prayer. You knew that I was going to preach a long time today because I didn't preach last Sunday. You ought to be used to that by now. One of these days I'll finish this sermon I started this morning. Heavenly Father, we pray today that you will speak to our hearts. Teach us about the Holy Spirit. We know that he didn't come to glorify himself, but to glorify Jesus. But Lord, we need your power. The only way we can have your power is through our submission to that Holy Spirit that dwells in us. Maybe there's someone here today that needs that power, that wants that power. Maybe that's the desire of their heart today. Lord, give me your power. Lord, use me. Maybe there's one here that's unsaved today. I pray that you might have spoken to their heart during this meeting, that they might know Christ in the free pardon and forgiveness of their sins. For this we give you praise, honor, and glory. In Jesus' name, amen.
478.
Thank you.
At 6 o'clock this evening, I intend to be bringing a message on the Prophet of Galilee. We'll be looking at Jesus' life as a prophet. The book of the Old Testament books are filled with prophets and prophecy, aren't they? And Jesus came as the prophet of God. We're going to look at him in that aspect tonight in our service. And as we look to the Lord to be dismissed in prayer, Brother David, will you lead us, please?
Heavenly Father, it's been so good to be here, to hear your word, Lord, and know that we have the Holy Spirit if we have accepted you as our Lord and Savior. Lord, that he will lead, guide, and protect us, Lord, that we would have power if we would just ask him, Lord, to guide us, to help us to do what thou want us to do, and to use the talents that thou has given us. Lord, we just pray that you would help us to go out, as we heard this morning, and share that with others, Lord. Help us to be a light unto the paths of others too, Lord, and just witness to them and tell them about Jesus and his death and burial and resurrection, Lord, that they can receive him. Lord, we just thank you and praise you for this day, and we ask you to continue to be with us as we depart, and Lord, bring us back to worship you tonight. Lord, be with those who are sick, and we pray for, especially for Linda and Sue and Miles and others, Lord, that are really in a battle for their physical health. Lord, we pray that you would lift them up and heal them and bring them back. Lord, we just thank you and praise you for all you've done. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen.